Well, it's been a quiet week up in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It was warm and kind of windy all week, and we got this terrific thunderstorm on Wednesday, which was a great boon to get washed off like that. Fishing season begins this weekend, and Irene Bunsen showed Clint a story in the paper which said that the average fisherman spends about $1,500 per season on his hobby, which, she pointed out, for which you could buy 100 pounds of bluefin tuna. And last season he got 3 walleyes that he kept and a stringer of sunnies that he froze, but then he threw away. And that was pretty much the extent of it. She said, he said, that's not the point. That's not why we go. She said, well, what is the point? Well, you can't really answer that question. But men have always had this deep need to look at water. In that storm on Wednesday, we saw an enormous fish leap out in the lake, and we knew that our old Pete, the old walleye, was still alive. He came leaping out of the water, and he had 5-6 lures hanging from his lower lip, one of which he got last summer when he almost drowned a fisherman who made the mistake of using a lure with 3 hooks on it and 30-pound monofilament line, so that when he hooked onto old Pete's lower jaw, he had too good a hold of him. He got him up alongside the boat, and Pete leaped, and he pulled the fisherman into the drink, and the fisherman was struggling with him, and the line got around the fisherman's left leg, and the fish dragged the fisherman, floundering and waving his arms, about a quarter mile out into the lake. When the fisherman finally figured out, they took his pants off. He stripped his pants off, and that got the line off his left leg. But then he could not bring himself to swim ashore at that point because there were people on the shore, on the beach. And so out of modesty, he almost died. He had to swim way across the lake and off into the woods, and he lay there on the beach, and he was exhausted. He barely made it, and he found a piece of blue plastic there in the woods to cover himself with, and he hiked into town, but in his condition, he did not notice that there was an enormous hole in the blue plastic. He and his wife had come to Lake Wobegon because they were trying to escape from a cleaning lady who could not clean, but who used powerful chemicals in the process of not cleaning. And they could not bring themselves to fire her because what would she do for a living? And so they moved from St. Cloud to Minneapolis and then to Chicago, and she followed them in a white van, and she camped at the curb in front of their house, and she insisted on coming in and cleaning. So finally they came to Lake Wobegon, because Lake Wobegon is not on the map, so if you want to disappear, this would be your best chance of doing that in this day and age. And they loved Lake Wobegon. They loved it. It was a town where the weekly paper, the front page, the big headline might be Donut Day at LWHS, big success. That would be the big news of the week. It was a nice break from Chicago. But he wasn't a farmer, and he wasn't a mechanic. He was a business executive, and so he had no talent that we were able to discern, you see. So they moved to Nashville, and he became a big deal in the publishing business down here. And when I saw him the other day, he was with a bunch of big shots, and ran into him on Broadway, and he couldn't ignore me. He walked up, but he gave me a wary eye, and the look on his face said so clearly, don't talk about the fish. Don't mention the fish. Don't bring up the subject of the blue plastic either. Anyway, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, and down at the Bon Marché Beauty Salon, Luann cut her hair very short this week. That's the big news in town for a week. Right after work, she cut her hair very short, and she went to church with it. It was a crew cut. People looked at her, and they paid no attention to the sermon, not that it was worth paying attention to. And everybody was thinking, why would somebody with beautiful auburn hair cut her hair so short? She did it because she was happy. She had lost 35 pounds over the winter, and she had stopped smoking as well by the simple method of every time she had an urge to smoke a cigarette, she ate a slice of bacon, which she never has cared for at all. And so she began to loathe the very idea of smoking and also to loathe food in general. And so she kind of killed two birds with one stone. Anyway, it wasn't much of a sermon. Pastor Howard Haugen is an interim pastor who's filling in until they find a permanent replacement for Pastor Liz, who's in Rome, and who sent a bunch of photographs of herself looking very happy on various, you know, piazzas and plazas and bike fountains and sitting in corner cafes and in St. Peter's, for the love of God. And there she was. And she was smiling, and she was not wearing clerical garb. She was wearing shorts and sandals and a T-shirt that said, "It could be worse." And what we want to know is who took those pictures? Who was holding the camera? Who has been with her? The gospel on Sunday that the sermon was on was the story of Jesus, who, after his crucifixion and resurrection, was walking towards Emmaus, and he met the two disciples, and they did not recognize him. A very simple, mysterious story. They invite the Lord to their home for supper, and he blesses the bread, and then they know him. And Pastor Haugen's sermon on this beloved text was about a trip that he took once to Switzerland and how travel can teach us so much. Marlene, the church secretary, was absolutely furious about all of this. She has come to loathe this man ever since she discovered a quart of bourbon in his desk drawer, which he pours onto the pecan pie, which he's addicted to. He brings big pies and keeps them in the fridge without asking permission. And he takes a big slice for breakfast and two slices for lunch, and he pours bourbon over this stuff. And then the old hypocrite goes and sloshes mouthwash around in his mouth so he won't offend the ladies of the church, and he spits it out in the kitchen sink, and he does not rinse it away. The pastor's saliva there in the sink. It's just absolutely disgusting, this silver-haired slacker who is always immaculately dressed and who plays solitaire on his computer and who sits there surfing the web. And Marlene has the modem right there by her desk in the next office, and she is able, whenever she likes, she can just flick the switch and take him offline. She's also discovered how to send a power surge that makes his computer crash, and any unsaved files become toast, which makes Pastor jump up and just scream in agony. And she says, "Look, Pastor, I called a repairman last week. He said he's going to come this week. He'll be here soon." And the repairman never shows up because he's never been called. Pastor Haugen is now hoping that his interim pastorate will be over soon, and that he can go elsewhere. It is never a good idea to get on the wrong side of a secretary. Never, never, ever. So it's Mother's Day. On Sunday, mothers are preparing themselves to look joyful when they receive their gifts, no matter what they receive. A little cigar box with macaroni glued to it, and sprayed gold, or little daisies made from tissue paper and pipe cleaners, whatever it is. Maybe somebody will give you a broom and you'll have to say, "Oh, yellow." Yellow bristles, my favorite color. Thank you so much. It's summer coming on. The sandhill cranes are nesting and the pontoon boats are out on Lake Wobegon, and the morel mushrooms are going to be very plentiful this year. So summer is here. Enjoy the time. It won't last too long. Pastor Liz, wherever you are, call home. We want to know, who is he? Your secret is safe with us. We will never, never tell. Call home, Pastor Liz. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.